Dear family and friends of St. Kieran's, please join us for our midweek meditation about perspectives on fear. Of course, this is not a comprehensive discussion on the subject. So let's pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit, who grants us insight into your scriptures. Help us therefore to learn from your word as we focus on being a people of God who fear only you. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, verse 12 to 27, and I'm reading from the NIV. He, that is Jesus, said, "A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king, and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put this money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him, and sent a delegation after him to say, 'We don't want this man to be our king.' He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given the money, in order to find out what they had gained with it. The first one came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 10 more.' 'Well done, my good servant,' his master replied. 'Because you have been trustworthy in a very small matter, take charge of 10 cities.' The second came and said, 'Sir, your mina has earned 5 more.' His master answered, 'You take charge of 5 cities.' Then another servant came and said, 'Sir, here is your mina. I have kept it laid away in a piece of cloth. I was afraid of you, because you are a hard man. You take out what you did not put in, and reap what you did not sow.' His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I am a hard man, taking out what I did not put in and reaping what I did not sow? Why then didn't you put my money on deposit, so that when I came back, I could have collected it with interest?' Then he said to those standing by, 'Take his mina away from him and give it to the one who has 10 minas.' 'Sir,' they said, 'he already has 10. He replied, 'I tell you that to everyone who has, more will be given. But as for the one who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away. But those enemies of mine who did not want me to be king over them, bring them here and kill them in front of me.'" Just to there, and may God bless his word to us now and evermore. This particular parable, even though it has quite a violent ending, resembles the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, verse 14 to 30, but there are some differences. In both, the reward is the same, the approval and joy of the Lord. Both are about being faithful to God. However, the parable of the talents teaches faithfulness in using our gifts as God gives us opportunities to serve, while the parable of the minas appears to be about Jesus correcting the bickering that was taking place amongst his disciples about who would be who in the new kingdom. So he warns them that the Messiah was going to be rejected, and that there would be a period during which he would be absent, requiring his followers to engage in faithful service until his return. That said, let's focus on the odd servant, the third one, and his handling of what he was entrusted with as it relates to the subject of fear. It appears that this servant was unfaithful because his heart was not right towards his master. Meaning he saw his master as a hard man who was demanding and unfair. He did not really love his master as a result. Instead, he feared him and was scared that he might displease him. And so rather than lose the money and incur his master's anger, he guarded it so he would at least have something to give the master if he returned and asked for a reckoning. And so it is very sad when Christians today are motivated by slavish fear instead of loving faith towards God. While there is a proper fear of the Lord that should be in every Christian's heart, that fear should be the respect of a loving child and not the dread of a frightened slave. Dr. A.W. Tozer, a well-known and respected minister, said, "Nothing twists and deforms the soul more than a low or unworthy conception of God." And so it is vital that we do the will of God from our hearts, in confidence, and with a great deal of love. So what do we know about fear? Well, there are different kinds of fear. One is natural fear. According to a dictionary, it is an unpleasant emotion caused by exposure to danger or expectation of pain. This is the type of fear which immediately seizes us when in an emergency situation, and it seems to play a protective role in our lives. For example, if our child is suddenly injured, there is a fear that grabs us and takes us to action. We might also find ourselves in danger, in which case we are also gripped by fear and there is that fight or flight instinct that emerges in us. Often, natural fear is accompanied by physiological reactions, and it's almost certain that the Lord designed us to function this way in order to cope in emergency situations. Next is the fear of the Lord. This is an attitude, as I mentioned earlier, of deep awe and respect and reverence for God. The Bible encourages this type of fear. This is a healthy spiritual attitude to have. For example, we read in Psalm 33 verse 8, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the people of the world revere him." In Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, we are told that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. In Proverbs 9 verse 10, we read that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. One might say of these last two proverbs that this is the correct spiritual attitude, a reverent awe of God that we should have, enabling us to properly understand and come to grips with God's Word. By contrast, having a casual, chummy approach to God will not place us in the best position to receive and understand His Word. Thirdly, we have counterproductive or unnatural fear. For the purposes of this discussion, the previous two types of fear can be seen as being productive, that is, they are useful and they help us, while counterproductive fear has no good effect on our lives. This is the type of fear many people have to deal with on a daily basis, in many forms, ranging from the mild to the extreme, such as worry, apprehension, anxiety, dread, horror and terror, even irrational fear, fear based on perceptions, not facts. There are different climates, to use that analogy, where unproductive fear may emerge in people's lives. For example, where there is the prospect of evil or trouble approaching, that is, evil in any form. This may result in any kind of unproductive response in people, from panic to pure terror. But for the Christian, God is able to deliver them from it, for in Proverbs chapter 1 verse 33, God says, "But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil." And then we have fear of people. This kind of fear colors our actions, hampering everything we do. It affects our relationship with God negatively when, for fear of what others may say or do or even think about us, we compromise our faith. Proverbs chapter 29 verse 25 says the following, "Fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe." And last but not least, the possibility of death and the deep fear that people have of it. Hebrews chapter 2 verse 14 to 15 has this to say, "Since the children have flesh and blood, he too," that is Jesus, "shared in their humanity so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death," that is the devil, "and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." Other kinds of unproductive fears include various phobias, such as fear of water, heights, spiders, confined spaces, the dark, and so on. Now, with some help, whether counseling or advice, as well as prayer, these areas of unproductive fears may be overcome. To conclude then, the reason that unproductive fear in any form needs to be dealt with is because more often than not, where fear is present, faith seems to dissipate. Here are some scriptures to encourage us to trust in God in the face of those moments where fear threatens to overwhelm us. Matthew chapter 14, verse 30 to 31 says the following. When he, that is Peter, saw the wind, he was afraid. Now remember, Peter was walking on the water. And beginning to sink, cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, Israel is told to be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, their enemies, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And this is something we can hold on to as well. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 1, God speaks to his people and he says, But now, this is what the Lord says, He who created you, O Jacob, He who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. And again, these are words we can hold on to. We belong to God. We are His. Fear, whether for real or imagined reasons, is what the devil would use to dominate, manipulate, and intimidate us, very often using people and circumstances to do so. Ultimately, we know that the devil is at the root of any fear-producing activity, even when the source is human. And because the battleground is in our minds, it is so important to know God's word well, to be able to lean with deep trust on his faithfulness to deliver us from evil and from fear. Finally, then, let's consider again the point of the parable. It was to encourage God's people to get on with the work of the kingdom, not to be fearful, but to be faithful to the message of the gospel. It seems that fear caused the servant to make inaccurate assumptions about his master, resulting in his long-held view of the man he served. This presumption is his downfall, because if his master was in fact like that, a more appropriate response would have been for him to at least have placed the money on deposit so that it would grow. Fear caused the servant to act irrationally and make bad decisions. And so let us remember who we are. We are children of God, and He loves us and will keep us according to His word. And so let us turn our fears into prayers. Amen. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, you have not called us to live in human fear of you or life itself. In Christ, we have been set free from our lives of sin as well as the bondage of fear. And so help us to live and encourage others to know the one whose perfect love has cast out all fear. In his name we pray this. Amen. And God bless you.